Welcome. So awesome to have everybody here. We've got guests, Wayne and Shirley, here with us, and John and Cammie. So we've got live people in our coaching session today, and we've got Annie from, I'm assuming Annie, you're in Provo, and Debbie's over at American Fork, and John is in Henderson, Nevada, and we got some people at the office to take care of us. And we're just going to have a good coaching session. Now, you'll remember that April is the month that we're focusing on health. So if we start thinking about some things that we've been working on and focusing on and talking about in terms of health, it's this start place on strengthen a weakened will. And those four elements of the foundation of strengthening a weakened will, which started with sleep. So our very first coaching session this month had to do with the research behind sleep. That sleep is an inherent part of being healthy. That's when our body detoxes and de-stresses. It's when we get strengthened against disease and sickness and error. It's when our brains flush out and detox as well. So lots of good things happen to us as a result of sleep and activity. So then last week, the first week, we actually did an overview of health, and then sleep. But then last week, we focused on the eat aspects. Tonight, we're going to hit the last two, which means we're going to have to really gallop here to get both of them. But we're going to talk about both move as well as gratitude. Now, it's very interesting to think about these three pieces: sleep, gratitude, and exercise, move. They really impact our bodies in very similar ways. So let's start with the book. Wayne, you were going to get Spark. Did you get it? And
Yes.
have you been reading?
Yes.
Okay,
Received
so
it today.
look,
Done.
and you got started. Look, this book, I apologize to some because I've noticed that in a couple of the comments, this was a little bit more scientific read than I expected. So sorry about that. I'm sort of a geek about these things, and I love all the referenced material associated with the writing of Spark because you're going to get lots of good research. Well, if we just start with Spark, that book as it relates to move, here are the things that it's that exercise, movement. That movement is going to impact in terms of being able to elevate our achievement in our lives. Chapter number two starts with learning. As soon as we start moving, it teaches our brain to learn, to retain, to gain things. Movement stimulates our brain's capacity to learn. Then the next three chapters were a bit related, and it is stress. Stress, depression, I think was number three. What was the one in between? Stress and depression, in any case, those elements associated with discouragement and depression elevates our mood. When we move our bodies, it elevates mood. And then you've got this next section about attentiveness and aging and attention deficit and the changes of hormones in our bodies as we age. All of these things are things that are impacted by the way we move. Now, you'll remember that when we talked about strengthen a weakened will, and I hope you got those six steps to strengthen a weakened will. Okay, John, if not, would you make sure they get into Academy? So, okay, so inside that one video, strength, six steps to strengthen a weakened will, that's where we start. Get healthy. And the four elements of get healthy are sleep, eat, move, and gratitude. And we keep them that simple because when we talk about strengthen a weakened will, we're dealing with people who are in a situation of eroded will. And so we really want to keep this simple. So when we talk about move, we mean just exactly that, just move in an intentional way at least 10 minutes a day. Now, that's for in a state of weakened will. Today, we're going to talk about let's talk about where you really want to go. If where you're starting is 10 minutes a day, that's great. But where we really want to go is to hit this minimum, and that is 30 minutes a day at 55 to 85% of your maximum heart rate. So let's talk a little bit about maximum heart rate. This is how you calculate maximum heart rate. It's 220 minus your age. So let's see, we had Savannah with us in Heber a couple of weeks ago. Savannah, I think, is 19 years old. Let's take Savannah. So if we take 220 minus 20, that's now 200 is Savannah's maximum heart rate. Now if we say 55% of that, that would mean 110. Or 85% of that, that would mean like 170. That's the range that we would want Savannah to have her heart rate for 30 minutes a day. So 30 minutes a day at between 55 and 85% of maximum heart rate. But now let's take me as an example. I'm 61. We'll use 60 just for easy calculation. 220 minus 60 gives us the 4160, right? Did I get that right? Somebody do the math for me. 160. Now, 55% of that is going to be about 88 beats per minute. 85% of that is going to be around 136 beats per minute. So for me to get my heart rate at about 88 beats per minute is really just a brisk walk. So if we think about this, if you think about start places, the very minimum start place is 10 minutes a day. We're in a state of weakened will. I'm going to intentionally engage movement for at least 10 minutes a day. The next place that we'd like to get is to, okay, let's elongate that to 30 minutes a day. Now, surely you and Wayne sometimes cycle together. Is that right? And you go out for how long? 30 minutes to an hour. So my guess is, and it takes a little bit more effort to get your heart rate up on a bicycle than it does walking. But my guess is that with just a little bit of effort, you can get into that 55% range. And then we just want to maintain in that range, 55 to 85 of maximum heart rate. Okay, so first thing, everybody, take just a second and calculate your maximum heart rate. 220 minus your age. Calculate your maximum heart rate. Now, once you've got the maximum, you want to exercise, okay, 10 minutes a day is the minimum standard, and then we want to elongate to get to 30 minutes, and then we want to take that 30 minutes and get, after a warm-up period, get to 55% to 85% of maximum heart rate. Now, all of this is preparing us to take advantage of all the great things that we're learning in Spark. Okay, so Wayne, have you got yours?
Yes.
So give me your range.
84 to 130.
Okay, so for Wayne, he will want to be looking at getting into about 30 minutes. And you get with stress reduction, with depression, with aging, with attention deficit, with addiction, with hormonal changes, especially in women. You get all of those benefits just by getting at least 30 minutes in that range. Now, having, was that like a good thing? That's a good thing. The benefits here associated with just moving are tremendous. Now, let me give you some tips. There is a great trend out there in exercise physiology today called high-intensity intermittent training, which is great, but it's really intended for high-energy athletic training. let me give you a replacement for that thought process. It's just really, for me, I discovered this in about 1980 or so. It's the Swedish word fartlek, and I'm sure I'm saying that absolutely incorrect, but it's spelled F-A-R-T-L-E-K, fartlek. And fartlek in Swedish means speed play. So rather than to do this high intensity intermittent training, which means you just go all out as hard as you can, so you move into an anaerobic state. Aerobic is under that 85% of maximum heart rate, but you move into an anaerobic state and then you cool down by either walking or going slower. That's what high intensity intermittent training is all about. Well, fartlek is speed play, which means you're just going to do a variation of speed. So if we talk about Wayne and Shirley on their bicycles, they might be, you know, going down the street at a very slow pace. And then Shirley would say to Wayne, okay, Wayne, see that stop sign up there? After that stop sign, we're going to just ride as hard as we can from that stop sign to the street light. And then you're just going to ride as hard as you can. And when you hit the street light, you can just kind of coast and say, okay, let's go at a moderate pace for four street lights. And then you just go at a moderate pace for four street lights. And then after four street lights, you'll go, okay, let's just kind of go at that real slow pace from now until we get to the billboard. And it's just variable changes in speed. And when you do that fartlek training, it's very easy to get your heart rate into that 55 to 85% of maximum heart rate. And it's fun. Fartlek speed play. We're just going to play with speed. And we're not going to do anything hard or structured, but we're going to vary our speed for distances that make it fun for us. We make it a game. And I just love that. And I've done that for my training, both running and cycling, ever since the mid-80s, early 1980s. And it really is fun. And it will help you to get your heart rate into that range so that it's not all the, you know, slow, monotonous speed, even with walking. Walking, you can probably get into that 55 range. But if you were to say, I'm going to just walk normal, now we're going to walk at a brisk pace from now until the next street light. Okay, now we're just going to go saunter again a little bit. Now let's jog slowly for four street lights. You know, that kind of thing will very easily get your heart rate and sustain your heart rate between that 55 to 85% of maximum heart rate. And what will happen to you as a result? Well, first of all, you'll get the impact on body composition. Second of all, it will enhance your learning. Third of all, stress, depression, aggravation, all of those things are going to diminish. Your ability to manage age and aging better will be enhanced. Attention deficit, your ability to cope with things like attention deficit disorders will be enhanced. Hormonal changes, especially in women, all of those abilities, the research as you read Spark will just be fascinating. So for those of you who don't like the research that we included this for book club, I apologize. I love the research, and I'm a little bit of a geek about that. So those are things that we're looking for as we move our bodies. Why? Because it gives us an overall richness for our lives that we otherwise miss out on. It allows us to accomplish things that we would otherwise not accomplish. And that's where this comes from. We started this with the notion of we want to be better achievers. We want to be better performers. We want better richness out of our lives. And so this is how we get it. We move. Now, I'm going to shift and go to gratitude. This gratitude research, I'm going to give two great researchers, a lot of credit here. Dr. Emmons and Dr. McCullough, they were together, researchers together, at Baylor University. They observed that people of faith just seemed to be happier. They seemed to be more cheerful. They seemed to be able to deal with life's stresses better than other people. And so they said, look, we ought to do a research study about that. Let's talk to people of faith and figure out why they're more cheerful than other people. And so it led to this, for them, what was kind of a revolutionary discovery, that it was the sense of gratitude. So if we think about the sixth dimension in our six dimensions, is all about achievement. The fifth dimension, however, is the spiritual dimension, where we talk about faith, this belief in the divine, this belief in a greater power, a governing power in the universe. For me, that's a deity. I think of that as deity. And people of faith seem to be able to have this feeling, this outpouring of appreciation to deity. And that that appreciation fueled all kinds of benefits for their life. So I'm going to give you this little bit of a gratitude quiz. Here are the six question quiz for gratitude. Question number one. Well, let's see if I can find question number one. Maybe I didn't print it. Oh, maybe I didn't print question number one. Okay, I'm going to pass on question number one. I'll come back to the gratitude quiz on another day. But this is why we care. This is the point that they discovered. They discovered that by creating what they called gratitude exercises, that it would bring this same benefit to people's lives, whether they were people of faith or not. People of faith find that as they pray to deity, it evokes that gratitude emotion. But they found that they could do gratitude exercises, hence the popularization of gratitude journals. That's one of the things that I highly recommend that you do with your high-performance journal, is create a tab for gratitude. And as part of that minimum 5 minutes every day, here is a gratitude journal or a gratitude exercise that we recommend. It wasn't exactly part of what Emmons and McCullough did. Theirs was just simply write, I am grateful for, I am grateful for, I am grateful for, 3 to 5 things. And that exercise by itself brought about tremendous benefits. We recommend a little bit of an addition to that, because we find it to be ever so more powerful. So rather than just, I am grateful for, adding this little piece, because. I am grateful for X because of Y. And when we engage in that activity, it enhances our learning elaboration, the depth of our feeling, and the power of gratitude. Here's what Emmons and McCullough discovered. They found that people who engaged in the gratitude activity for 30 days, over a course of just 30 days, as compared to the control group. So they took a large group of people and randomly assigned them to one group or the other, either the control group, well, actually three groups, I'll tell you about all three of them, a control group, which just wrote in their journals, a regular group, or the gratitude group, which wrote in their journals, I am grateful for, 5 to 10 things, and then another group that says, I am frustrated because, and then they did those tests on them after the case. What do you suspect, Wayne, happened to the people that wrote, I am frustrated because?
They didn't have enough paper.
You are so right. And when we start down that road, we need more and more and more paper. That's exactly right. It exacerbated their frustrations. People who just wrote in their journals, no changes at all. People who wrote, I am grateful for, and then filled in the blank, here were the things that they experienced. They exercised more regularly. Well, we just went through the research on exercise. If we exercise more regularly, we're going to learn faster and better. Our brains are going to be more active and acute. We're going to be able to get all the benefits of brain power that we ever want. We're going to be able to set aside stress and deal with it better. We're going to be rescued from depression and have better elevated moods. We're going to be able to deal with attention deficit. with aging, with hormonal changes, better than ever before. So the first thing that they noticed is all the people in the gratitude state exercised more regularly. Isn't that awesome? So it brought about, these are self-perpetuating. They bring about even more benefits. Second thing that they noticed, the people in the gratitude state made more progress towards achieving their goals. Look, that's exactly what we want. What we want is more progress on a goal orientation. We want to live life on a higher plane. Live life and that more abundantly. And that means that's exactly what happened to these people in the gratitude state. They were able to experience greater, greater progress toward their goals. Here's the next one that just blows me away. They experienced higher states of, get this list, this is just huge. Alertness, enthusiasm, determination, attentiveness, and energy. Does that just sound like, you know, the mix of a high achieving life? If you could get more alertness, enthusiasm, and determination, if you could have greater levels of attentiveness and energy than ever before, just from engaging daily in an activity, I am grateful for because. That's life-changing. That's revolutionary. The list doesn't stop there. They experienced, as you would expect, less discouragement, depression, and stress. Again, that combined with exercise is just like a double whammy. They were more optimistic about their upcoming week, and they felt better about their overall lives. Those are six things that they immediately discovered about the power of the gratitude state, gratitude exercises. Now, here's another researcher who jumped in, Lubomirsky, jumped in, and she said, okay, I'm going to test this and see what kind of results I get. She got all the same kind of things. They spent more time exercising in the gratitude state. They reported feeling better about every aspect of their lives. They experienced fewer headaches and nausea. That's fascinating. This is the cure for the common cold, the gratitude state. But here's the amazing thing. They had less acne. That seems like every teenager would love the gratitude state and the cure that it brings. Look, these research results are just fascinating to me. So if you combine them all together, that's why I said before, moving, sleeping, and gratitude have this synergy around helping us to overcome discouragement and depression, helping us to strengthen our immune systems, helping us to achieve at higher rates, helping us to accomplish more and get more out of life and have an overall greater sense of well-being about our lives. That is why we include all four of these as the Get Healthy Formula. So that Get Healthy Formula started with sleep. And then eat, and then move, and then gratitude exercises. As part of that, minimum 5 minutes every day to just take 1 minute of it and say, I am grateful for X because of Y. Just to take 1 minute, 2 minutes at the most doing that, and then go do the rest of high performance journal activity will be huge. Well, that concludes our discussion on health. And our coaching sessions on health for the month of April. Please take a moment. Think about your experience as we've talked about these principles tonight around move, 220 minus your age gives you your maximum heart rate, and then 55% to 85%, maintaining that for 30 minutes a day and all the benefits that you get out of it. Doing it in a way that's fun, speed play. I love that Swedish word fartlek that gives us speed play. Helps to elevate our heart rate, keep it in that range, and get the very most out of that exercise time while making it enjoyable and fun. And then, of course, the great research on gratitude. higher states of alertness, enthusiasm, and determination, greater attentiveness, and more energy. That's what it means to have higher, more achieving life. Okay, take a minute, reflect and write. What 3 to 5 things stood out to you? And why did they stand out to you? Why were these important to you? What do you want to have happen in your life? And then, of course, what are you willing to do about it? Where did you see a potential action that you can engage as a result of this coaching session tonight? Okay, after you've had an opportunity to reflect and write, Debbie Woolley, let's go to you first. One thing that stood out to you tonight and why?
Okay, I have always loved the gratitude thing because I've been into that for years. But it seems to like turbocharge it to put that. And I also am a firm believer of I am, because we're invoking deity's name and that moves element. And I already know that, but I'm just thinking how powerful I already know that to be. And I'm excited about putting a because and adding that to see where that.
You're just going to love this. Yeah, this is going to it does turbocharge your gratitude experience. Awesome, I love that. Jonna, let me go to you. One thing that stood out to you tonight and why?
The exercise 30 minutes a day. I know it doesn't have to be, you know, we could walk, we could do anything we want to move and get going and stuff. But just after reading a little bit of Spark, I am just so enthusiastic of growing my brain, of developing these neurons and brain cells and growing trees and branches and buds and all this kind of stuff. I'm just to help me be better.
Jonna, I love that you feel about Spark the way I feel about Spark. Isn't it exciting to just think, look, for really most of my lifetime, scientists told us we had a certain number of brain cells, that was it, there were no more, and they were dying as we progressed and aged. And now we learn that that's just quite the opposite. We can grow new buds and branches, new neurons and dendrites and axon connections. And all of that facilitates not just greater nerve growth and development, but more connections, greater learning, greater capacity to learn and perform. I love Spark. I'm glad you're enjoying it as well. Cammy, one thing for you tonight.
Well, I like the idea that if you move, it increases your intelligence and your learning. And I've done a lot of research on reading, teaching children to read. And they have to have that eye-hand coordination. That comes first. The crawling is very important to how well they're going to be able to learn to read. And that's fascinating that this research is showing that.
Yeah, Cammy, I'm glad you pointed that out, because it is true that exercise, our brains learn from that moving activity, and hence a variety of activities. Hence, fartlek training makes a difference, so that it's variable. We mix it up. It enhances the learning that goes on in the experience. But you're going to get the studies from two school districts, Naperville School District in Chicago and Titusville in Pennsylvania. And what they did when they added a 0 hour of just cardiovascular training and what happened to their grades. It was fascinating. And that's where this whole book starts. And you're going to love that as you get into Spark. Excellent. Shirley, one thing for you tonight.
Well, I was also impressed with the gratitude and the daily journal. And I thought that that was interesting, that it gives you an overall state of well-being.
Isn't that just awesome? That whole list. First of all, you're more likely to exercise. You'll make greater progress towards your goals. You will experience higher states of alertness, enthusiasm, determination, attentiveness, and energy, that you'll just feel overall better about your life. It's just huge. Just from that little exercise, high performance journal, gratitude tab, I am grateful for because. Shirley, absolutely brilliant, great takeaway. Wayne, one thing for you.
You know, I think that this idea of people of faith being grateful to God is a powerful idea. If we give thanks to the Father of us all, and if we try to become more like Him, then we see that that we have an opportunity to look at others in a more positive way. We're grateful for them.
You are brilliant and inspired. Nicely done. Okay, do we have guests? We've got guests tonight with Wayne and Shirley, and they're here in my home. Do we have any guests online? If not, what I'm going to do is say, what questions do you have? What thoughts or observations would you like to share? And then we'll let our online group go. I sense that from the responses that our presentation might have been intermittent. I hope it wasn't terrible. I think we will have learned from this. We'll see how bad it was. But I'd be happy to take questions as long as anybody has questions. And then we'll wrap up the online coaching session and stay for just a little bit with our guests here in our home. Yes, Wayne.
So concerning movement, just movement, not exercise, weight training, any of the various ways that a person can exercise, seems to be what you're expressing, is just about anything that causes you to move and move your heart rate between these two parameters is good. It's sufficient.
You're exactly right. If we can get to that 55 to 85% of maximum heart rate and sustain it for 30 minutes, we've got a winner. It can just be, we're going to go out and shoot hoops. We're going to walk around the park. We're going to fart like this. So we're going to brisk, and then we're going to slow down, and then we're going to maybe jog for 20 steps, and just whatever we can do, move. And that's why we use that word at Sixth Dimension and Griffin Hill, is that's the key. So it doesn't have to feel like work or exercise. You know, it's just, let's move. Brilliant observation. You're exactly right.
I've got a question or two about sleep after those who were in.
Okay, good. We'll come back to sleep questions. Any questions from our online crew?
Who's on today?
Scott, I actually have a question. But it really doesn't have to do with the training, but I start my classes next Tuesday night, and I go until 6:30. I will be on the road. Possibly by the time I get off campus. I don't know if it was Jonna or Annie or some that have gotten you on their phones. How do I go about doing that?
Hey, Annie, do you want to jump in on this? Because yes, you've done this a lot.
Yep, I'm still on my phone, even though I'm in my house. It works best. So I don't know if it's going to be any different. I doubt it. I'm on my iPhone. What I do is I open up my email, and from my I just log on just like I would on my computer. So and it pulls the first time I had to download the Skype for my phone.
Okay, so I'll have to download the Skype thing.
Well, but it will prompt you to do it.
This is what I would say. I would say as soon as you've got it downloaded, let's do, you know, call into the office and work with Sarah. And let's do a little test to make sure that it's working.
Yeah, because just like on your computer, it's going to prompt you the first time you try to log in. I think I tried to log in an hour the first time, and it prompted me to install the Skype. And then ever since then, I just log in.
jeans. I'm gonna have to keep you okay.
Awesome.
Okay, I might
Johnny,
have.
You had an observation.
Well, are they? Are Annie and Debbie done?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay, so Debbie, just make sure that we follow up with that all the way through, so that we know before you try it that it's going to work and that it's live and doing the job for you.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Jonna.
Scott, all I wanted to ask was, after last week, you know, about the eating and stuff, do you have a list of foods that are the healthy fats and stuff, like guidelines and stuff? Because I'm kind of getting over, I want to do it, you know me, I just want to do it right now, but I'm like, okay, what's healthy and what's not?
It just so happens that as part of, we promised you that near the end of the month or first part of May, we would post that Get Healthy, Stay Healthy course.
Oh, I did that, okay.
Shaping up to be a lot of lessons, but as part of that, we have exactly what you're looking for, that planning guide so that you can see all the non-starchy vegetables that you can just eat all to your heart's content, unlimited amounts of them. And then we also, and by the way, two of those you can eat all you want vegetables are really fruits. Tomatoes and avocados are also in that list with non-starchy vegetables. You can eat all you want of those. And avocados are such a great source of healthy fats. Yeah. Now, this is the other thing that I would add. I would say not unlimited amounts of almonds, cashews, walnuts. Walnuts are a terrific source of healthy fats, even better than almonds and cashews, pecans. So I won't tell you unlimited amounts of that, but three handsful a day, which is a lot. You won't want more than that, and you're going to get great healthy fats from that. I would also say that as you think about your proteins, I would add, if you're like me, I do a smoothie. I know Wayne's a smoothie fan. I put hemp hearts and ground flax seed in my smoothies because it elevates those healthy fats. You're going to get from 2 tablespoons of ground flax seed, you're going to get 180% of your omega-3 fats. Now, the problem with plant-based omega-3s is it's deceptive. You really need animal-based omega-3s as part of your diet to get that in. So when we say animal-based, your seafoods, your fish oils, all of those will help to give you your so if you're not a beef fan, I'm a beef fan. I'm calling this the West Mountain diet because this is how my grandparents ate who grew up on West Mountain. And so that's what you're going to see. But part of what I would encourage you to do if you do beef or lamb, we're a lamb fan, right, Shirley? Beef or lamb or bison or any of those kind of things, you really are probably better off getting the grass-fed because that's when the omega-3s are highest. So it's not just that I'm climbing on a social cause or an environmentalist cause. It's that your omega-3 fats are elevated in grass-fed beef and bison and lamb. So there's a start place. And yes, we've got the rubric and the guide. It's 2 to 4 pages. And as soon as we have a rough, I've got rough drafts. I'll get you an email of a rough draft, Jonna.
Thank you. Yeah, because I was worried about the caloric intake too, but I won't take any more of your time. I'll wait for that, and that I know will give me all the information I need. Thank you.
And I'm so glad you mentioned caloric intake. Look, I've been a calorie guy all my life. I've believed in that science that tells us a gram of fat and a gram of carbohydrates and a gram of protein all burn, you know, 1 calorie of each of those burn the same. But what I've neglected in that science, which is true, is that food is also information. So if I eat a calorie of ice cream, I don't get the same effect in my body as if I eat a calorie of avocado. So even though I played this calorie game, and the research is clear that they all are the same amount of energy, it's different information in our bodies. And when we give that information to our bodies do different things with it. So again, what I'm going to tell you is that when you use the West Mountain diet, you will never have to count a calorie again. You will not be worried about the amount of calories in an avocado or the amount of fat in it. You'll just relish it.
Okay, awesome. Thank you, Scott.
You're going to love them.
What's the idea and philosophy on the getting it to the natural foods versus people who try to sell supplements of omega-3 and other things because they need in their diet? Is that effective or not?
So again, I'm calling this the West Mountain diet for a reason. You might call it the Heber Valley diet. Did you grow up there? Yeah, so this is how your dad ate. You've got your garden, the easiest, the faster from field to fork, the fewer steps from field to fork, the better off we are. So the research is pretty clear about that. Now, having said that, that's why the West Mountain diet included grass-fed beef. That's how they fed their beef. How does your father feed his lambs? In his pasture. Exactly right. Because that's how you're going to get elevated omega-3s. Now, having said that, what about fish oil or some of the other? They're helpful to help you get those omega-3s. And the challenge is the ratio between omega-3s and omega-6s. That's the problem. So probably didn't answer.
There when you go fishing and get some salmon or stuff, because you live there on the coast versus where we.
What about trout?
Yeah, trout helps. Salmon is ideal, of course, for omega-3s, but trout, good. Okay, great questions. Thank you for joining in. Good to be with you in this coaching session. We'll see you Thursday night. Remember, Thursday night is our entrepreneurial coaching. We'll talk about principles of being a better entrepreneur, growing our entrepreneurial skills, and elevating our opportunities. That's really all a part of the fourth dimension, which is industry, career, and financial fitness. Great to be with you. See you Thursday night. Thank you very much.